Organic evolution has never been observed. Our 15th lesson, codes, programs, and information. Yes, we're still talking about organic evolution. In our experience, codes are produced only by intelligence, not by natural processes or chance. Codes. A code, what is a code? Is a set of rules for converting information from one useful form to another. So the example is you have your language, you want to send it over a wire that will just end up with a beep. So the example would include Morse code, converting your information to somebody else through Morse code. Braille, I was surprised one time when a man who was blind was quoting these large passages of scripture, and then I realized that his face was facing me, but his fingers were reading the Braille Bible on the desk, you know. But Braille, so translate written word, for instance, into Braille. Code makers must simultaneously understand at least two ways of representing information, the one you're translating from, the one you're translating into, and then establish the rules for converting from one to the other and back again. It's a complicated thing. I used to play with codes. I had a book on various codes. One of the ones I liked the best was you had a certain size, diameter pencil, and then you'd take a strip of paper and you'd wrap it around so that the edges just touched. Then when that was all set, then you would write your code down the pencil, one letter on each strip, piece of strip, and then turn it slightly and have the next line and so on. When you undid it, of course, it made no sense at all just looking at it. But if the receiver had the same diameter pencil or dowel rod or whatever you were using, then it could do that and it would line up. So, you know, I come up with different codes and send it to my friend and back. So, and it can be kind of complicated. What we understand is that genetic material that controls the physical processes of life is coded information. Now, because this isn't something that we think about every day, probably, also coded are complex and completely different functions. The code activates different functions. The transmission, the translation, the correction, and duplication systems, without which the genetic material would be useless and life would cease. Built into us are things that produce the code and then check that code for errors, and then if they find errors, correct it. That's all going on inside the body, even the baby's body being formed in the womb. And Claude Gavin and others, proteome survey reveals modularity of the yeast cell machinery in the magazine Nature. Genomes, which means all of the DNA of a species, are remarkable in that they encode most of the functions necessary for their interpretation and propagation. So in the genetic structure of most beings, the part of the code says how to transmit the code, and then how to propagate it so that it will continue on. This is a very complex situation. See? It seems that most reasonable that the genetic code and the accompanying transmission, translation, correction, duplication systems were produced simultaneously in each living organism by an extremely high intelligence. The genetic code is remarkably insensitive to translation errors. In the natural mutation process, cosmic rays, little bombarding of the molecules, things will come out that wouldn't make any sense. So many of these things have autocorrect, which works better than our normal autocorrect. I was writing to Julie Cox that we take our blessings bit by bit, and when it came out, it said but by bit. I said, no, that's just not right. That doesn't sound right at all. But if the code were produced by random processes, as evolutionists believe, life would have needed about a million different starts before a code could have been stumbled on that was as resilient as the code used by all life today. Now, the idea that this starting up would take a million restarts means that it is less and less likely that it would ever begin, you see. And he points out in this that you can check Stephen J. Freeland's article, Evolution Encoded, in Scientific American, not a Christian magazine. So we'll move on down a couple of notches. There you go, Scientific American. All right. Larry Leibovich was quoted by David Bradley in The Genome Chose Its Alphabet with Care in Science magazine. If you study the genome, the genetic code, you find that they have attached certain letters to the things. Now, this is beyond me to understand it, but when it's talking about letters here, that's what they've named various parts of the genome. He says, this analysis gives us reason to believe that the A to T and the G to C, or the ATGC, maybe that's what that means, choice forms the best pairs that are the most different from each other, so that their ubiquitous, their everywhere use in living things represents an efficient and successful choice rather than an accident of evolution. Now, the emphasis was added by the person putting this together for us. But the people studying it say, once you see that the AT and GC choices, they make the best pairs, now you find that that's the one that the DNA chooses. The process chooses it, not stumbles on it by accident, making the same mistake over and over again. Likewise, no natural process has ever been observed to produce a program. Produce a program. If you're familiar with computers, you understand something about programming. We'll give it a definition. A program is a planned sequence of steps to accomplish some goal. We used to do this in our geometry class, where we'd have to say logically, you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and you work it out. That's putting together a logical program. Computer programs are common examples because programs require foresight. You have to know what you're headed for and how to put it down correctly. They are not produced by chance or natural processes. You can't find programs being done by how the stream washes the sand along. The information stored in the genetic material of all life is a complex program, a planned sequence of steps. Therefore, it appears that an unfathomable intelligence, a fathom is a depth in the ocean, and if something is many fathoms deep, you'd say it's 20,000, but if it's unfathomable, it's deep beyond your ability to imagine. Unfathomable intelligence created these genetic programs. It is so complex that it's hard for us to even understand what's happening, much less think it through so well that we could invent it, you see. Jack Trevor's David Abel says in chance and necessity do not explain the origin of life in their magazine Cell Biology International. No matter how many bits of possible combinations it has, there is no reason to call it information if it doesn't at least have the potential of producing something useful. So he's saying you can find things that look like information, but if it's just random scattering, it's not really information. Information means that once you put it together, it means something, see? It produces something useful. So what kind of information produces function? In computer science, we call it a program. Another name for computer software is an algorithm. No man-made program comes close to the technical brilliance of even mycoplasmal genetic algorithms. Okay, brings up the question, what in the world is a mycoplasm? Mycoplasmas are the simplest known organisms with the smallest known genome to date. So pick on the simplest one, and it's too complex for us to understand it fully. How was its genome and other living organisms' genomes programmed? The question would be, who programmed it, you see? Benevolent evolution, it doesn't make any sense. Then from the same book, page 730, no known hypothetical mechanism has even been suggested for the generation of nucleic acid algorithms. People studying this don't even have a choice, any guess as to what might have caused it. So we've been talking before about life itself, life and energy combining and what it can and can't do, how diverse or how limited is the diversity. But this time we're looking at something else, because life contains matter, the stuff, energy, the force, and information that directs the matter and the energy. Life doesn't exist without information, you see. How can we measure information? This gets a little complex even for me to follow, but do your best. Maybe you understand it better than I do. A computer file might contain information for printing a story, reproducing a picture at a given resolution, or producing a widget, whatever thing that might be, to specified tolerances. Information can usually be compressed to some degree, just as the English language could be compressed by eliminating every U that directly follows a Q. If you find the Q, you'd suppose the U follows, and you don't need actually it there. So you could compress that information. After compression, the number of bits, the zeros or ones, would be a measure of the information needed to produce the story, picture, or widget. This is how you measure information. Each living system can be described by its age and the information stored in its DNA. DNA, for you who are saying, I wish somebody would tell me what that means, it is deoxyribonucleic acid. So that's a fun word to drop in the conversation at lunch. Deoxyribonucleic acid. That's why they say DNA. Each basic unit of DNA, called a nucleotide, can be one of four types. Therefore, each nucleotide represents two, log 2, 4 equal 2, bits of information. And I have no idea what that means. Conceptual systems, such as ideas, a filing system, or a system for betting on racehorses, can be explained in books. Several bits of information can define each symbol in these books. The number of bits of information after compression needed to duplicate and achieve the purpose of the system will be defined as its information content. Information content. There's another definition here. The number of bits of information after you compress it is called information content. That number is also a measure of the system's complexity. How complex is it? So a larger number, more complex. Objects and organisms are not information. Each is a complex combination of matter and energy that the proper equipment and information could theoretically produce. Matter and energy alone cannot produce complex objects. You cannot deal with evolution as just talking about matter and energy. Cannot produce complex objects, living organisms, or information. So you have to have some information that somehow evolved. While we may not know the precise amount of information in different organisms, we do know those numbers are enormous and quite different. Simply changing, mutating a few bits to begin a gigantic leap toward evolving a new organ or organism would likely kill the host. Now that we have the understanding that any organism, even this tiny little, microcosm thing, takes an enormous amount of information, that means you start messing around to evolve it to another one. Are you messing with something that kills its heart, kills its ability to think or move? Yes.
Mm-hmm. The person that you transplanted into, that system knows that that's a foreign object.
That's right.
So that's why for the rest of their life they're on anti-rejection drugs.
Yeah. Immunosuppressants, Russ was telling us. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the BK virus that he has, that most people have and it doesn't bother them at all, but transplant people can get really sick by it. All right, Norman Wiener, Cybernetics, or Control and Communication in the Animal and the Machine, wrote, information is information, not matter or energy. Information is just information. You can't look at a piece of matter and say that's information or energy. No materialism which does not admit this can survive at the present day. He says, take your philosophy however you want, but if it's materialistic, where you're only dealing with matter or matter and energy, then it doesn't work. Your theory must include the information. Werner Gitt, professor of information systems, describes man as the most complex information processing system on Earth. Gitt estimates that about 3 times 10 to the 24th bits of information are processed daily in an average human body. Do we have an average human body? We don't know. Now, what number is that? That is thousands of times more. Times more than all the information in all the world's libraries. And this is happening daily in the average human body. See, Werner Gitt, in the beginning was information. So all isolated systems, including living organisms, isolated means it's existing on its own, including living organisms, have specific but perishable amounts of information. They could be perishable. No isolated system has ever been shown to increase its information content significantly. So it's working to maintain its information system against that perishing. In the same book, page 107, there is no known law of nature, no known process, and no known sequence of events that can cause information to originate by itself in matter. There is no poof and information appears. He says, no law of nature, no known process, no known sequence of events can do that. nor do natural processes increase information. Natural processes destroy information. Only outside intelligence can significantly increase the information content of an otherwise isolated system. All scientific observations are consistent with this generalization, which has three corollaries. Corollaries are logical deductions. Only outside intelligence can produce information, maintain it in an isolated system, like a human body, and then how to increase it as the body grows. It says this has to be an outside intelligence. So it means, first of all, macroevolution, the change of one animal into a different animal, cannot occur. Because macroevolution requires increasing complexity through natural processes. Natural processes can't do that. The organism's information content must spontaneously increase many times. However, natural processes cannot significantly increase the information content of an isolated system, such as a reproductive cell. Therefore, macroevolution cannot occur. Get back to Werner Gitt. The basic flaw of all evolutionary views is the origin of the information in living beings. It has never been shown that a coding system and semantic language information could originate by itself in a material medium. And the information theorems predict that this will never be possible. A purely material origin of life is thus precluded, eliminated. The second corollary. Outside intelligence was involved in the creation of the universe and all forms of life. Couldn't happen naturally. Outside intelligence. Based on modern advances in the field of information theory, the only known way to decrease the entropy. Entropy is the second law of thermodynamics, that everything is breaking down. Everything can start out very structured, but it ends up being more and more random. It's running down. It's falling apart. It's the garden that you didn't touch for a year. It's just all messed up, see? To decrease entropy would be to increase organization. That's the whole concept of evolution. The only known way to decrease entropy of an isolated system is by having intelligence in that system. You need to get a gardener into the garden. He has to know what weeds are and all that kind of stuff. See, for example, Charles Bennett, Demons, Engines, and the Second Law. Second Law of Thermodynamics, I mean, Scientific American. Because the universe is far from its maximum entropy level, looking around, things are still running down. They haven't reached the bottom yet. It means that a vast intelligence is the only known means by which the universe could have been brought into being. It was brought into being highly active. The third corollary, and last, is that life could not result from a Big Bang. If you understand their concept of the Big Bang, if the Big Bang occurred, all matter in the universe was at one time a hot gas. A gas is one of the most random systems known to science. Random, chaotic movements of gas molecules contain virtually no useful information. Because an isolated system, such as the universe, cannot generate non-trivial information. It can generate trivial information, just sounds like information, but isn't. Be like letters or part of letters instead of a book. So it cannot generate non-trivial information. The Big Bang could not produce the complex living universe we have today, which contains astronomical amounts of useful information. So, complex thought. but so complex that what we need to understand is that the evolutionist blithely saying, no, we don't need God for the creation of the universe, have mistaken themselves terribly by thinking that it can just randomly happen, when that can't happen. You can't randomly produce intelligent codes, programs, and algorithms. All right, what a blessing, huh? Well, anyway, yes, sir.
2 weeks ago, I had a great big part of my neck taken out. It was damaged DNA material that they took out.
We'll just say it was done on purpose, right?
Yeah,
okay.
On purpose. Because it was damaged DNA material.
Uh-huh.
And yet, for the last 2 weeks, my body has known what kinds of cells to build there to restructure all of that. I mean, if it didn't have the right codes, if it didn't understand the codes, it would maybe grow an extra ear or a finger,
and strange toenails coming out of your neck. Yeah,
so it
just
knows whether it's supposed to put,
knows exactly where it goes and what needs to happen.
A muscle cell or a hair follicle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, isn't that amazing? I've often told people it'd be great if our cars break down, we just put them in the garage for a week and make sure they get food and water and just heal themselves and get back, hey, all better.